Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
In life, if you just take the word of scientists that this world must have come into being by the Big Bang Theory and developed through evolution over millions, even billions of years, if you have just trusted that that's accurate, you've made a mistake. We're asking the question today, can you trust the humanist scientist account of creation? Well, thankfully, the Bible addresses that. Let's read in Romans chapter 1. And not only does it address it, it deals with it. It explains what's going on here. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God, now listen carefully, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Okay? God is going to judge ungodliness and unrighteousness. What men? Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It is possible for ungodly men to be acquainted with the truth and aware of the truth, but deny the truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. In other words, God in creating this world has manifested himself to every person that lives in this world. Every person in this world, as will be explained, has had a manifestation of the reality of a creator God. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God has revealed himself to all men. How do you explain that, Pastor? The next verse, verse number 20. For the invisible things of him, in other words, the invisible things of God, you know, we can't see God. In that sense, he is invisible. So how can we know this invisible God? It explains it. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The creation of this world clearly shows every man and woman in this world God. I said last week, when people come to me and question me about God, I said, just go outside and look around. You want proof? Just go look around. There's all the proof you need. That's exactly what this verse is saying. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Just look around. Being understood by the things that are made. The Lord made these. Even his eternal power and Godhead. It is obvious that someone very powerful, someone like God, had to make this. And in making this, in seeing this, in experiencing this, that is overwhelming evidence of a creator God. So it says, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuse. If you choose to believe false theories and deny God, you are without excuse. It's on you that you can look at this world and deny that there is a creator God. And you can be the head of the physics department at Indiana State University. You can be the head of the astronomy department at UCLA. And listen, if you ignore the evidence, you are without excuse. And then it explains it. Because that when they knew God, in other words, every man has a conscience. Every man has a sense within him of the divine, because it is so evident, it is so obvious. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their theories, their ideas, they became vain, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, well, I am head of the astronomy department, or I am head of the physics department, or I am the head of nuclear science. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Can you trust humanist scientists? Can you trust their account of origins? And when we're talking about origins, we're talking about the origin of the universe, which would include space, which would include time, which would include matter. And when we talk about origins, we're talking about the origin of man, which they claim occurs over millions, even billions of years. Can you trust the humanist scientists? Okay, well, let me answer a question for you, because humanist isn't a term you hear very often. You may be here this morning. You don't even know what that means. When you say humanist scientist, what do you mean? Well, what is a humanist? Here it is. Humanism, and this is real. This isn't some far-out philosophy, folks. And just because you don't hear about it or you're not aware of it doesn't mean that it's not very real, because it is. Humanism is a philosophy, worldview, or life stance based on naturalism. The conviction that the universe or nature is all that exists or is real, okay? Nothing else. Humanism serves, for many humanists, some of the psychological and social functions of a religion, but without belief in deities, transcendental entities, miracles, life after death, and the supernatural. Humanists just believe in naturalism. They don't have anything to do with God or the afterlife or judgment or heaven or hell or angels or demons. They don't believe in any of that. Goes on to say, humanists seek to understand the universe by using science and its methods of critical inquiry, logical reasoning, empirical evidence, and skeptical evaluation of conjectures and conclusions to obtain, I should have put this in brackets, reliable knowledge. Humanism is real. In fact, here's a list of humanist scientists. Carl Sagan, Richard Dawkins, Bill Nye, yes, the science guy, Niels Bohr, Albert Einstein, J. Robert Oppenheimer, Nikola Tesla, and we could go on and on and on. These are avowed humanists. Now, others might not call themselves humanists. They might just say, I don't believe in God, or I'm an atheist, or an agnostic, or whatever. But these are even the more radical, who will openly embrace the idea that I am a humanist. So this is very real. This is not something theoretical. And humanists are abundant in our secular state universities and colleges. Not to say that there aren't a few Christians around, but a very, very small minority. And you need to understand, these humanist scientists have an entirely different set of beliefs than the Bible when it comes to origins. The Humanist Manifesto 1, let me quote for you, and I had copies of both the Humanist Manifesto 1 and the Humanist Manifesto 2. Maybe at home I still have it on a bookshelf somewhere. The Humanist Manifesto 1, and this is what they believe. They put it down in writing, what they believe. States, humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as the result of a continuous process, evolution. This belief is echoed in the Humanist Manifesto 2, which claims that science affirms that the human species is an emergence from natural evolutionary forces. And in Humanist Manifesto 2000, Kurtz, he's one of the leaders, says the theory of evolution and the standards of ecology should be studied. I mean, that's what they believe in. Go on to say, for the humanist, atheistic evolution is not one option among many, but rather the only option compatible with their worldview. Creationism or intelligent design is considered by them to be an enemy of science. So anyone who does not believe in God, who rejects the idea of God as a deity, God as a reality, you could label him as a humanist. So humanists then come up with their own ideas, their own concepts of origins. But there's a problem with that in Romans chapter 1 and the verses that we just read. Because in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 22, those verses explain who the humanists are. Those verses explain what they think and why they think what they think about origins. And it also, very importantly, explains why what they think and the ideas they come up with cannot be trusted. This passage explains clearly why you need to not buy into the idea and just trust the fact that if they're scientists, they must have proven these ideas or have overwhelming evidence that the Big Bang Theory, that everything just popped out of nothing, and along the way, through evolution, we came up with man. You have to understand, no matter how many letters are at the end of their name, PhD, whatever, all the way through, that doesn't make them credible. Particularly when they are at odds with God's word. Particularly. And in the case of origins, they most definitely are. I want us to look at this passage in some depth this morning. This passage is dealing with, what is the context? It's dealing with origins. In verse number 20, Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So again, the context of what the Bible is talking about here in Romans chapter 1, in this portion of that passage, is talking about creation. And the Bible here is affirming that origins begins with a creator. And thus, then, his creation. We also know that as this passage is dealing with where did we come from and how did we get here, this passage is also acknowledging how non-believers will believe about origins or how humanists will believe. This passage is dealing with humanists. Okay, in verse number 20 of that same passage, it identifies what we're talking about. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And today we simply call men that are filled with ungodliness and unrighteousness, men that deny God, we simply call them today humanists. So this passage is talking about humanists and their views of origins. And this passage also explains why they reject creation. And they do. In Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Call them humanists, call them secularists, call them atheists. For what reason? Why is God angry with them? Because it describes them as those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. To hold the truth there, that word hold actually means, check it out for yourself, go to your Bible studies, it means to suppress the truth. They are fighting the truth. They are suppressing the truth. One writer put it this way, hold is in the present tense, which indicates that ungodly men and women, humanists or secularists, are continually, actively, willfully, deliberately restraining hindering and withholding the truth about God. Note also the active voice, which indicates that it is volitional choice. It is a volitional choice. It is a choice of their will. They are looking at the evidence and refusing to believe the evidence. So that brings up a question. Why? Why do they want to suppress the truth? Why do they want to hold the truth? Well, you got to remember that God made us free moral agents. He didn't make us robots. We weren't formed to love Him without any choice or will, because that wouldn't be love. He gave us a freedom of our will, because He wanted us to love Him because we wanted to love Him, which gives us the ability to choose not to love Him if we choose not to. And when you see what's going on here, these people suppressing the truth, they are simply choosing to ignore the evidence. This quote, "They know God exists." Look around. "They may refer to Him as an invisible force, but deep inside they know there is a creator of everything. And yet they hold down that truth in their mind. Why? Because if there is a God, and He is righteous, and He is a judge, then I cannot behave any way I please. But I suppress the truth about Him. I can behave badly and not have to give an account to Him." They don't want to believe, folks. And that's why God's wrath is going to be poured out upon them. And this passage explains why they are guilty of this great sin. It goes on to say, verse number 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." In other words, as one writer said, the creation reveals the Creator God in such an unmistakable way that even the most backward person cannot fail to grasp its basic message. How anyone could go outside on a clear, cool evening in northern Michigan when it's really dark and you're way out in the woods and look up at that night sky and see the billions of stars and think that it all got here by chance? You are choosing to be willingly ignorant of what I would consider the obvious, that there must be, there has to be a Creator God. In verse number 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." God is invisible, but He is seen through His creation. A couple other quotes. "Thus, through the light of the created universe, unsaved man recognizes the fact that there is a supreme being who created it, who has eternal power and divine attributes, a being to whom worship and obedience are due. This is the truth which unsaved man is repressing." Goes on to say, "It takes a deliberate act of one's will to observe the design we see in creation and not acknowledge a designer." Verse number 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, and their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened." Paul is saying that men are conscious of God's existence, power, and divine nature through His creation and general revelation. This is the general revelation of God. This is God's specific revelation. And the universe, the stars, the earth, the animals, the sky, the fish, that's God's general revelation. They glorified Him not as God. Neither were they, well, let's back up. They glorified Him not as God. These ungodly men did not express a proper opinion of who God was based upon the truth revealed about Him in His glorious, marvelous creation. They didn't want to glorify Him as God. Neither, it says, were thankful. When we leave off praising and thanking, and listen to this. This is thought-provoking. When we leave off praising and thanking God, we open the way for every form of evil. Thanklessness towards God is proof of the alienation of man from Him. when men do not want to glorify God, when they do not want to express their gratitude to God, they open the way up for every form of evil. And just go out into the laboratory of life here and listen to how people talk. Look at how people dress. Look at how people just live. I was disappointed. Got to be careful. Anyway, I heard some people that I know, nobody related to our church, and they're not even Christian, but some people. I overheard them, and they didn't know I was listening. And I wasn't listening in, but they were talking loud, and so I heard them. And really? And around me, they clean up their language, but I could hear them over. That's who they really are. It was coarse language. It was crude. And if you think about it, that's people without God. They tend to devolve into that. People who come to know God may struggle, but over time they get victory over that. They clean up their language. They clean up their thought life. It says, but became vain in their imaginations. Paul's point is that their ideas and conceptions of God had no intrinsic value corresponding with the truth. Let me read that one again. Paul's point is that their ideas and conceptions of God had no intrinsic value corresponding with the truth. And it says, and their foolish heart was darkened. To forsake God is to exchange truth for falsehood, meaning for hopelessness, and satisfaction for emptiness. But an empty mind and soul is like a vacuum. It will not long remain empty, but will draw in falsehood and darkness to replace the truth and the light it has rejected. And then it says in verse number 22, professing themselves to be wise, they're at the higher institutions of learning. They are published in all the important peer-reviewed journals, if you will. The greatest fool in the world is the person who exchanges God's wisdom of truth and light for man's wisdom of deceit and darkness. One evolutionist said, and I quote, I refuse to believe in God, so what other alternative do I have but evolution? Can you trust the humanist account of origins? And the answer is no. And after having reviewed those verses quickly, let's zero in on three things. Three reasons why you cannot. I don't care how many PhDs they have. I don't care how much they say that it is conclusive. And let me say this. I would direct your attention to astrophysicist believer Jason Lyle, who's been associated and affiliated with Answers in Genesis. He is an astrophysicist. And I've been listening to him lately in preparation for this series. And he says, most people believe that we lose the argument with the carbon-14 dating. And many people say, well, how do you argue with that? You know, it proves the world is millions of billion years old. Jason Lyle said it does not. And he says, carbon-14 dating is our friend. Now, I could go into all the intricacies of carbon-14 dating and explain to you the molecules and the isotopes and the neurons and the protons and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but time doesn't permit this morning. But, you know, they have their scientists that uses all the language that we cannot understand. It's very intimidating. It's neat to have somebody that has the equal mental capacity but is a believer who can refute all of that. Jason Lyle has a lot of very good lectures, if you will, on YouTube, and he debunks all the stuff that some of you for years have thought, well, man, they've proven it. You know, we're dead in the water. No, you listen to Jason Lyle, and he will prove to you that, no, they haven't proven anything. So, but let's give you 3 points from this passage. Why you can't trust these guys. Number one, you cannot trust the humanist scientists concerning origins because they refuse to glorify God. They refuse to glorify God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Here's a quote. These ungodly men did not express a proper opinion of who God was based upon the truth revealed about him in the glorious, marvelous creation. Truth demands a response, and the truth about God demands that we, the creatures, glorify Him as the Creator. When we don't, we fail in the great purpose for which we were created. If you get God wrong, you're going to get origins wrong. Okay? If these scientists refuse to acknowledge and much less glorify God, if they get that wrong, then they're going to be wrong in their speculations, and it is speculation, it is theory, if they're honest. They weren't there, they didn't see it, they are speculating, and the experiments that they say prove their hypotheses. If you talk to somebody who is a believer, who is equal in their capacity, equal in their credentials, he can debunk what they are telling you. You cannot trust them because they refuse to glorify God. They come into the question with a tainted view of life. They refuse to acknowledge the ultimate reality, God. So they're going to get things about God entirely wrong because they want to. Number two, you cannot trust the humanist scientists concerning origins because eliminating thankfulness to God opens the door to error. Because that when they knew God, number one, they glorified Him not as God. I have trouble putting my trust in men, no matter how learned, I have trouble putting my trust in them over speculative matters from their point of view, like origins. Men who do not glorify God, neither were thankful. Another quote. The natural creation was intended to lead man to glorify God and to express gratitude to Him. When we leave off praising and thanking God, we open the way for every form of evil. We looked at that earlier. Thankfulness towards God is a proof of the alienation of man from Him. When you think about this, when you alienate man from God, you're alienating man from truth. And when it comes to origins, which there was no one there at the time to see it other than God, then it only makes sense that man, when he has alienated himself from truth, is going to come up with some off-the-wall, crazy hypothesis or theory. A lack of gratitude to God shows a basic lack of wisdom and understanding to begin with. And then number three. You cannot trust the humanist scientists concerning origins because they come up with inane, which is another word for stupid. They come up with inane theories. Because that when they knew God, number one, you can't trust these guys because they don't glorify God. Number two, neither are they thankful. But number three, and this really summarizes and explains it, but became vain in their imaginations. They don't want to find God any more than a thief wants to find a police officer. Having rejected this quote, having rejected the real truth, men desperately search for anything to replace it, flitting about from preposterous idea to even more preposterous idea, from inane hypothesis to even more inane hypothesis, from spacious theory to even more spacious theory. Frantically looking for a unifying worldview that explains creation's order, except they're stepping outside of creation. They are vain in their imaginations. That's what I love about Ken Ham at Answers in Genesis. When he's debating Bill Nye or anyone else that's a secularist, that's a humanist, you know, he's without apology. He's not intimidated. He doesn't say, it doesn't matter what kind of scientific evidence they throw at him. It doesn't move him in the least because he has unshakable confidence in the Word of God. Now, are you going to put your confidence in God's Word, or are you going to put your confidence in Bill Nye and his theories? Is there going to be anybody in here so foolish as to say, Well, I'm going to Bill Nye. Think about it. I mean, I'm just using Bill Nye to kind of represent all of the secular humanist scientists. Who are you going to put your faith and trust in? I mean, you want to talk about evidence? The evidence is overwhelming. I mean, the heavens and the earth, I mean, they declare the glory of God. I mean, just go up into the mountains of North Carolina or the Rockies and look at a waterfall and a mountain stream. You just look at that. There's not a more beautiful sight on the face of the earth than a beautiful waterfall. And I've told my wife, I said, there's no way you could improve upon this. It's perfect. It speaks to the glory and majesty of God. Romans 1:21, let's look at it again. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Great quote here. When man rejects the truth, the darkness of spiritual falsehood replaces it. And we'll conclude with a quote from Charles Spurgeon, who was even dealing with this back in the late 1800s. Men who never heard the gospel can see God and his works if they open their eyes. There is written upon the face of nature enough to condemn men if they do not turn to God. There is, in his words, a gospel of the sea and of the heavens, of the stars, and of the sun. And if men will not read it, they are guilty, for they are willfully ignorant of what they might know and ought to know. And for that reason, you go to a museum and you hear perhaps some well-meaning person say, see this exhibit, this stone is 2 billion years old, or this represents man, you know, 150, you know, million years ago. That's not what the Bible teaches. Are you going to trust the Bible, or are you going to trust somebody they call the science guy? And you will answer that. Every person in this room, you say, I'm not going to make it. No, you're either for him or against him. If you're not for him, you're against him. I'm talking about the Lord. Let me encourage you. The evidence of creation, the beauty of the world, the magnificence of creation, the magnitude of creation, the orderliness of creation, the design of creation, the laws of creation. There's no explanation for that but for God. And that should make you extremely grateful and should motivate you to glorify his name. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. So you see, the Bible tells you where these people are coming from and why they're coming from that position, what it's all about, what they're doing, what they're up to, and sadly, the price they're going to pay. You don't need to pay that price. You need to be a believer. If you've never believed before, if you've allowed evolution and the Big Bang to put doubts in your mind about God and the Word of God, that should be eliminated by the Word of God itself this morning, where you come to Him by faith and trust Him as your Savior.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.